This is Mae Bressel. The title of this broadcast, the second half of this broadcast, is World Watchers, in case you missed the first part. July the 8th, 1985, and I'm talking about a terrorist concept in the minds of Ronald Reagan and the National Security Council. Five small nations, such as Libya, Iran, and the Shiites, and the Middle East, as against what the United States is doing to its own in this country and overseas, and has been doing, along with the Reinhard Gehlen agents, the Nazi agents, and the assistance of British intelligence since World War II. And many of the events that take place have their origin in the murder of John Kennedy, the power that these people got, the H.L. Hunt family, when that father should have been brought in, for his role in the Kennedy assassination in Dallas, and then the sons and nephews that continue with the fascist links on to the Vatican and to Britain and to the Waffen-SS, the family of the Waffen-SS, the connections of Dallas, the Young Americans for Freedom that were brought there from Munich, Germany, and the William Buckley tentacles that go to, again, Buckley's a Knight of Malta, the Vatican. But a lot of the events taking place today that I've talked about and just illustrated have their direct links to Germany and to the United States, the Defense Department, and the intelligence community. And you could take each one of these and draw a direct line to those particular locations. Now, there was a coup in a very small place, Palau, P-A-L-A-U. Most of us hardly know where it is on the map. It's one of several hundred small islands, 200 coral islands, a tiny place with 14,000 people. But a man was murdered there, the president, Remelik, R-E-M-E-L-I-I-K, this past week, very quietly murdered. And the next day, the vice president, who happened to be in the United States visiting, flew in and was sworn in. This is identical to Mr. Mubarak having visited the home of George Bush and going to the National Security Council and the Defense Department, then flying back to Egypt and sitting next to Sadat when Sadat was gunned down. And of course, Mubarak didn't even have a scratch. The vice president was in the United States. Why is this little affair over in this tiny island important? He was giving the United States a hard time in terms of putting nuclear submarines on the islands. The president that was gunned down was opposing American policy. They were siding with New Zealand, hoping to link with Australia. And furthermore, this is the area where a lot of atomic testing was done, and it has to do with the proven grounds in Utah and the Defense Department chemical tests and bombing of the people in those particular islands. And this president was opposing the United States. The Monterey Herald had a story. It was syndicated July the 7th. Tough negotiations with D.C. President Remelik was giving Washington a hard time. The result was that this 51-year-old president was just gunned down. The vice president comes in and gets sworn in. And then, of course, the negotiations will ease up. And this small island is part of the Micronesia Island, and they were put under U.S. trusteeship in 1947. As soon as the war was over again in 1947, the U.N. Security Council said the United States could be responsible for Palau's defense and foreign affairs. They were the ones that got a bunch of bombing and testing on their islands. And this account, this one article says, a compact of free association through these islands with the United States was to provide $1 billion in aid over the next 50 years, but it was held up because the Americans had qualms about anti-nuclear causes in Palau's constitution. The clause, that they didn't want nuclear submarines, and they were against their experiences, and they were a cause of concern for the United States because of their anti-nuclear sentiment that's emerging in the countries down there. And the United States wants the United States Navy, the vessels, to have the right nuclear capability to fill the entire Pacific Islands. And we wanted to use their bases. And Mr. Remelik was to meet with the proper authorities from Australia and New Zealand. There's a South Pacific Forum that would take place. So he's gunned down, and you can bet that they'll get $1 billion. And the vice president was in the United States being briefed. And it has to do with our violence, because when the atomic war falls on our heads. That violence becomes our violence. What is Pelu's assassination this week may be your death a few years later, because this is the way people who oppose our government are killed. And the reason they oppose them is that they're in the way of this big global nuclear, the assured destruction, you know, that we will only lose 100 million in this country, but we can do it. Mutual assured destruction. That is what these crazies are aiming for. And while George Bush is lecturing, he attended services or demonstrations over in Germany before he met the hijackers being returned. There's a photograph of him in the New York Times with his hand on his chest giving a military salute to the German army. He isn't saying a word about Air India. We lost one American on that airplane, a Marine. But Air India went down in the ocean with hundreds of people killed. And the newspapers are filled with stories of how they were trained to blow up the airplane. 329 people were sunk in the ocean. And our public officials never talk about the Sikhs. And it's spelled S-I-K-H-S, the Sikhs. We talk about the Shiites, not the Sikhs. And the suspects were trained at these at a camp in Alabama, but the members of that camp are again linked to John Conley, former Secretary of Navy, to Dominica, to the Nazis, to the Klans. And where are public officials' outrage except for one passing remark? The newspapers, the Associated Press, Wire Service had a story, paramilitary school could be under gun. And they cite specifically Soldier of Fortune and Gung Ho magazine. This was July 1985 that this story was carried on the wire service. Another story from the New York Times, Sikh suspects studied explosives at mercenary school in Alabama. I had that on the broadcast on Monday night. And by Tuesday or Wednesday and Thursday of that week, it would made the wire service. This is June 27th. Another story, terrorist links suspected in Air India Japan bombs. Several people were killed in Japan, in addition to the 327 that went into the Atlantic Ocean. That was Washington Post, June 26. And Ronald Reagan is getting simultaneously millions of dollars for the Contras. Congress changed their mind 2 weeks after they voted no. And television, even CNN, had a documentary this week on the atrocities of the Contras, torture similar to El Salvador military dictatorship. I couldn't believe it. On Ted Turner's broadcast, he seems to be showing the far right spokesman, and then he does throw in certain news that the other programs don't show, the atrocities of the Contras. So what do you do about those commando schools? In the United States, we train them. We train these schools to blow up atomic plants. We train them to kill particular people. We teach them to blow up airplanes. They're American trained. They're American weapons sold in America, taught in America. Then they go up to Canada and make sure that this plane falls in the ocean with 327. Then our president is talking to 300,000 members of the bar in Washington, D.C. about a motley crowd that are over in the Middle East who've been deprived of all their rights and freedoms under Great Britain and France and the United States, and continuously oppressing them into the point that they are driven to terrorism. And then we can have big conventions about terrorism and let the macho president get up and give his speeches. Now, another story this week about the CIA links, and you've seen it many times, linked to the Beirut bombs, the June 24th, 1985, the San Francisco Examiner. The CIA denied that they were a part of that, even though 80 people were killed. It was a runaway mission. Sure, we trained them. Sure, they were acting without authorization. We taught them how to plant the car bombs. We teach them where and how to get the weapons. We teach them how to dress and act like terrorists. Then when a facility comes down with 80 people killed, we say, oh, no, that wasn't us that you banged down. We meant you to use that, what, on yourselves? No, we meant it to use on other people. So the New York Times article with George Bush, he has his hand on his chest. It's June 26th, the Leslie Gelb article, where his hand over his chest, he's with Helmut Bitburg Kohl marching past the German troops, and the title is Bush in Germany Discusses Shiites. Now, why doesn't George Bush discuss Task Force 157? Why doesn't he discuss the killings of people through the Nguyen money, the Nguyen bank, all the violence America has done, the Letelier murder, the Ronnie Moffat murder? Why is he going around talking about Shiites when he's responsible and was director of the CIA when Orlando Letelier was blown up right in Washington, D.C.? Again, the super serious face of George Bush, your next president or vice president under Kissinger, if they can pull it, and Ronald Reagan, talking to these so-called prestigious graduate schools, graduates of law school, and telling them that terrorism is the biggest problem in the world and that it's centered with these five motley groups over in the Middle East. Now, another terrorism story that has large, large implications. They're so big that I didn't want to touch it very much until I finished with the Mengele story, but it has to do with Leonard Lake and Charles Ng and Caroline Lake's ex-wife in California. And the clues of it go back to history of the 1970s when Ronald Reagan was governor, and Edwin Meese was his legal advisor in California, and Dr. Jolly West, Jack Ruby's psychiatrist, had moved from Oklahoma. He was his momentary psychiatrist for that little bit of amnesia or epilepsy, the one-minute epilepsy, with all the connections that Jack Ruby had in Dallas and Chicago and in New Orleans. So those three got together, Reagan and Meese and West, and tried to push in 1973 that Institute for the Causes of Violence that I did many, many broadcasts on and linked to Jonestown. Well, getting back to that same the thing that they tried to do then, they're pulling out of the hat now because you see all this terrorism is created and can be identified as links to our intelligence community and agents from the past. A story in the San Jose Mercury this week, doctors to study Lake's brain for clues about violent behavior. The medical officials are saving the brains of Leonard Lake. There are no disappearances of 25 people linked to him and 9 known deaths, body bags and bones of approximately 25 people. And they're going to take his brains, and Dr. Vernon Mark, the same doctor that worked with the men from UCLA, and Dr. Sweet, the same doctor who did the brain surgery on Leonard Keeley that I talked about, Dr. Vernon Mark, director of neurosurgery at Boston City Hospital, associate professor of the prestigious Harvard Medical School. Mark is the author of Violence and the Brain. We'll look at his brains, and then they go back to something I've warned and talked about for how long. The Charles Whitman Texas Tower murder, this article refers to where 18 people were killed at the university in Texas, and his brains were studied to see if he had a tumor. And the idea is that you cut open slices of the brain to see what there is about these things that they had in common. Well, what if they had something in common? Do you open the brains of normal people to see if they have the inclination or the brains to kill? This was the beginning of taking brains of blacks after the riots, after Martin Luther King was killed, creating the violence and frustration, then giving the go-ahead by the government, the LEAA, and the federal funding to Dr. Mark and Urban and Sweet in Boston, the green light to take brains from minorities, whether it's Indians or blacks or Chicanos particularly, and even brilliant scientists such as Leonard Keeley, who invented the Polaroid camera that went then into the hands of Mr. Land and the Defense Department. And Keeley became a vegetable out here in California with still the electrodes in his head. Well, these same people now want to take the slices of Leonard Lake's brains and understand those brains. Now, Ronald Reagan is president. He's no longer governor. Edwin Meese is no longer legal advisor. He's attorney general. And Caspar Weinberger is no longer head of the HEW. He is secretary of defense. And these were the men that were told by the Senate investigation committees, cut out what you're doing at these federal locations, and also, I suppose, state. This was federal investigation of mind control. Now, Frank Irvin, who went out to work at UCLA with Dr. Jolly West and Dr. Vernon Mark, his associate who is going to examine these brains of Leonard Lake. And I know that this has federal implications, military implications, that compound out at in Calaveras in California. They wrote a paper on the reasons for studying violence and doing surgery on the brain. And they cited their experimentations with Charles Whitman, how he shot 41 people and killed 17. But in their studies, in the Congressional Report, page 597, they said, Oswald, the alleged assassin of President Kennedy, is another example about someone whom eventual murders could have been predicted. He had a history of repeated episodes of uncontrolled, impulsive assault behavior before he attempted to assassinate General Walker, or kill Officer Tippit. He was involved in a number of street fights, and he tried to commit suicide by slashing his wrist when he was in Russia, and in addition, he beat his wife unmercifully on a number of occasions. Their neighbors noticed Marina's head, face, and neck were seriously bruised and were afraid one day he would kill her. Now, I've read 26 volumes of the Warren Commission hearings, and I would take those doctors to court if there was a court. They are using one lie after another lie after another lie to cut brains and make us a robotized society. Oswald wasn't the person who shot at General Walker. There isn't a shred of evidence Oswald shot at General Walker. There isn't a shred of evidence or proof that he killed Officer Tippit. As for his wife, all the people that saw her beaten or bruised were not people who actually saw her. They were third-person people who were told, like Anna Miller was told by Mrs. Hall, or George Bowie was told by Jean DeMorenchild. It was all third-person. He didn't beat Marina at all. She came over as a white Russian from Minsk, from that Belarusian operation that's written by John Loftus on the transfer of these Nazis and the far right wing into the United States. She came right out of Minsk, Russia, as did George DeMorenchild, his family and that background. And they told lies, but as far as beating her, he had no history of violence. The only lies about the violence came from the mouths of the very people who worked with the Defense Department, the CIA, the CIA branch of the Greek Orthodox Church, and Defense Industry Security Command, the intelligence arm around the munitions plants, such as Gally Clark. She didn't testify, but her husband did, Max Clark, chief of security for Convair, people that housed them. In his term in the Marines, where he enlisted, not a problem. He was in charge and knew all the radiation secrets of the entire Pacific area that he was in, training at two bases of the U-2 in Japan and in the Philippines, went off to the Soviet Union and worked in quotes at the Minsk radio factory, wanted to come home and got his passport back from the embassy, got the money to come home, was met by the World Anti-Communist League figures such as Spas Rakin and the Leo Chern I mentioned last week, and the network of CIA people that were at his home from the time he landed in Fort Worth until the Kennedy assassination is a mile long. So now these people are going to work on the brains of Leonard Lake. There are tremendous political significances here. And also those missing people. How do we know who they were and what their role was? And I'm sure many of them were selected to be killed. Now, the story this morning in last night's news is that Charles Ng, who worked with Leonard Lake, Dr. Mark will work Vernon Mark with his brains, and then he'll get Charles Ng's if he dies. There's a snag in the extradition. He knew to go to Canada with. They know who drove him there. They knew where he stayed there. And by being picked up in Calgary, Canada, or any city there, his attorney already has a clause going back to the 19th century that he doesn't have to be extradited. I'll be very surprised if this trial ever goes on, just as I predicted the Klaus Barbie trial couldn't start until Mengele was dead, and they probably don't believe Mengele's dead. And so in January, it'll be 3 years that Klaus Barbie is sitting in a jail. The trial can't start. Charles Ng could be sent back to Hong Kong, deported to Hong Kong, where he originally came from. He was caught taking weapons in the United States Navy, in the Marines, rather, in Hawaii. And another shocking story of his military records came out this week. just showing the implications and the collusion of these people. It is so horrendous. This is the San Francisco Chronicle, Saturday, July the 6th, 1985. Military records, Eng spoke of slaying when in the Marines. Now, this guy was in the stockades because he had taken 2 machine guns, 3 grenade launchers, 4 M16 rifles, 7.45 caliber pistols, and 3 Starlight scopes for night shooting. And he said that the Marines was boring. He wanted to get out because nothing happened and there was no action. So he had a Marine attorney who represented him there, and he got off on that. He escaped from all of this and came to the United States. He said, he told the attorney, "I consider myself a good liar. I know how to kill. If you know how to kill, you make friends with somebody because then it's easy. They don't know who you are, and your best friend is your enemy." And then he boasted to this attorney back in July 82, 3 years ago, that he killed a California man, that he set off a bomb in California, that he shot and killed the owner's livestock, that he put potassium cyanide in a salt shaker in the Marine mess hall, that he tried to kill a staff sergeant. The attorney never had anything on the record to look up these things that probably all were proven to be true. And I believe that Charles Eng and Leonard Lake were running the kind of a castle that Franz Stengel trained at in Germany, where they had a location. I'll do more details on that for you later. And taught how to kill and took photographs of people, just as these people had videotapes and detailed photographs of the various people up there. Germany ran these testing places before they ran the mass concentration camps. And they would take pictures, such as gassing a person for 3 minutes or 2 minutes and 1 minute and watching their agony, then sending the pictures to Berlin to show the degree of time particular doses do and how they die. And they had schools for murder. And these schools were done. They wanted to train those people to learn to kill their own, like for Austrians to kill Austrians, because it's easy to take hunchbacks and Jews and mentally fit or the aged. But they wanted to get their tolerance for killing their own. And this place in Calaveras is only one across the country. You'll find that there are a lot more. But, of course, California is the nut house. Ronald Reagan here 8 years, and Edwin Meese, and our Deputy Attorney General, Mr. Jensen. And you know how many times I've talked about the California violence. Well, Mr. Eng had no record in the Marines of seeing a military psychiatrist while he was in Hawaii. And again, Hawaii was a and is a place for training mind-controlled zombies and various mass murderers from California. And Mark David Chapman was sent to Hawaii for his dose of it before he ended up in front of the Dakota Hotel killing John Lennon. No record of this attorney checking out these things. He simply left the Marines. He's the son of a Hong Kong, in quotes, traveling cameraman who managed to have his son going to school in London, and I believe he probably started very young as a candidate for such as the Tavistock school there, run by the late John Rawlings Reese, and went from London to the United States and to the Marines, but kept the Hong Kong passport so he could be sent to Hong Kong and never be tried. Carolyn Balazs, that's B-A-L-A-Z-A, B-A-L-A-Z-S, I'm sorry, is the wife of the ex-wife of the late Leonard Lake, although I've mentioned before that she was close to him up to the moment that he was dead and helped Mr. Charles Eng get out of this country. He got out of this country by a lift of somebody he corresponded with in a prison. He was 2 years in Kansas. And this is very important, Fort Leavenworth, Kansas, because from Fort Leavenworth, Kansas, comes the new director of the Texas prisons. The head of it, Raymond Pecunier, has just left there, I guess, to get a high appointment in this administration. They've had enough murders and squabbles there, and I'm not going to detail Pecunier's record in California now. I've done a long ago, many hours on Raymond Pecunier. But the new director of the Texas Department of Corrections comes from Fort Leavenworth, Kansas, and I'm sure that he and his gang knew Charles Eng there. Another story about Leonard Lake's wife, always the ex, like ex-Nazi. This is out of the San Francisco Chronicle, July the 2nd. Oh, pardon me, San Francisco Examiner. It is Examiner Chronicle, but they have 2 different editions during the weekdays. Lake's ex-wife suspected of recruiting models. Now, where do you think she worked? She worked at the juvenile hall in San Mateo County. And the probation authorities are investigating her work because in charge of juvenile probation, she had taken 21 young women who happened to have their snapshots on the wall of Lake's bunker up there. It's in Calaveras County, Wiseleyville, California, Wiseleyville. Now, this is exactly like Jim Jones or the school at UCLA. Give us your poor, give us your ones on probation. We'll mind test them, we'll drug test them, we'll electrode them. We can kill them. Human beings are part of a meat and sausage factory. Anybody who's done a minute's research would back up the stories I've been telling you for a long, long time. And finally, I have time for just one more. It has to do with that doctor at Bethesda Hospital who has been charged with 4 or 5 manslaughters with murder. And a woman, Lily Grubb, got a telephone call this last week. And this is the way it began. It was from a Rear Admiral William M. McDermott, Jr. And he called her on the telephone and he said, "I believe Dr. Donald Billick killed your father." And this is the story of her father going to Bethesda Hospital. They lived in Virginia. He was retired out of the military. And they made a point in this story to tell us that this poor Mr. Franklin Grubb, he was an Army major, William Franklin Grubb, was drafted in the Army before World War II, and then Frank Grubb had served in the infantry during the Battle of the Bulge and returned to the battlefield a few years later in Korea. There are endless deaths of people, witnesses to the Battle of the Bulge, witnesses of a Fritz Kramer at the Bulge, 2 Fritz Kramers, Hitler's Kramer, America's Kramer, or are they the same? Henry Kissinger in the Battle of the Bulge, David Emery is collecting articles of violence against people involved in the Battle of the Bulge that have been taking place this last year or two. And this man is operated on by a person who wasn't supposed to do surgery, who was taken out of a New Jersey hospital and put at Bethesda where the presidents and senators go. No subtlety in this one. You can sue the U.S., she's told. Is that the way to get a telephone call? What does she sue? What, 1 or 2, 3 million? Okay, taxpayers, he does the surgery, you pay the bill. Put it to the national debt. It runs into the trillions. Mrs. Grubb gets a call. See how unsubtle this is now? The Washington Post runs a story. June 27th, 1985, a front page story. A phone call from an admiral. The widow of the Navy's doctor patient advised to sue U.S. Well, at first, he got on the telephone. He said that Dr. Billick killed your father, but it actually was the widow of Dr. Billick, and that's the phone call she gets. Well, when an admiral picks up a phone and says, "You can sue the government," you know this has to be a bad case, because usually these medical things, people have to fight and say, okay, he's wanted on 4 manslaughters, but they were innocent, the arteries broke, or something happened to the patient. Doctors bury their mistakes. When the federal government has 4 homicides on a surgery table in Bethesda, Maryland, where our congressmen and congressional aides and, as I say, the president and his family go, when they're charging them with homicide and they're picking up the telephone and saying, "You can sue us, we killed your father," you don't have to be very subtle about that. I mean, I don't even think Adolf Hitler got on a phone and called somebody and said, "I killed your mother." They let them guess what happened. This country is getting so blatant with its violence that you have to just look at these news stories and wonder how much further it can go. Not only the hypocrisy, but the way it's coming out, it is horrendous. And I don't know how to offer a suggestion on what to do except to look at the people who are running this country, like we try to do, and study them. This government investigation, the Committee of the Judiciary, Senator Sam Ervin's investigation on individual rights and federal role in behavior modification. On page 348, it says, "Memorandum on the Center for the Study of Violent Behavior and Who is Violent. In his January 1973 State of the State message, Governor Reagan announced the formation of a Center for the Reduction of Life-Threatening Behavior. Several proposals have been drafted and submitted to Dr. Stubblebine, and the Committee of Senate Health and Welfare in California will look into the project. It's called the Center for the Study of Violent Behavior. I think we should take the experts into Washington, D.C., and study the National Security Council, the Central Intelligence Agency, the White House, and even the members of Congress who just want to kill and fight and bomb and blockade and scream and yell and make not a cottage industry but a multi-billion-dollar industry out of death, out of killing. It is horrendous, and I don't know how long it can go, but it has to get worse if there's no solution. This is enough on this violence. Now we'll go back to the very mild Joseph Mengele, who just did a few deaths, a couple of million. These people have in their hands the plans or the intent to wipe out almost everybody on this earth. Can't compare Mengele to them, but we'll go back to Mengele anyway, a small fry compared to these people. And we'll go back to Simon Wiesenthal and his relationship to the SS Gestapo. Simon Wiesenthal and the Gestapo, that will be, I promise, the whole broadcast for next week. This is Mae Brussel. You take care. Thank you for the articles and books you're all sending me.